first chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 5, reading responsibly through verse 8. The 8th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Shall we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And let's pray. Father, we thank you. This is a wonderful evening. We thank you for church, and we thank you for people who are faithful and loyal to the services. And we thank you for this great crowd tonight. We pray that you bless those of us who are usually here, bless those who visit with us. We pray that together we might form a unit of faithful servants of thine. And of course, faithful servants are quick to hear when you speak. So speak to us, we pray, through our preacher, and give us attentiveness. Help us to know this is important and this is life-changing. In Jesus' name, amen.
You probably wonder why the choir was singing, I was there when he was crucified. In some mysterious sense, we were. For we were in Christ, dying with him and in him, mysteriously, on Calvary. Tonight, I'm going to bring a message that is a continuation of a thought that I have brought before here, and also at Howells Anderson College. It's sort of an extension message of a thought that's one of my favorite thoughts in all the Bible. In case you have heard some of this, I'm aware that you have. And some of you were here, but you were not here, and you did not hear it. It reminds me of a story that I love to tell about. I was preaching in Colorado. It's been about 30 years ago. And I said, it's to a college. And I said to the student body, I'm preaching today, this morning, a message about a person I dare say that I don't even know about. And I'm preaching on the subject of Shamgar. And I said, how many of you ever heard about anything about Shamgar? Well, everybody raised their hand, every student in the faculty member. I was amazed. I said, I bet you never have heard a sermon about Shamgar. Now, all Shamgar ever did in the Bible, he took his ox goad and killed 600 Philistines, that's all. And I said, I bet you never heard a sermon on Shamgar. How many ever had? They all raised their hands. And inquisitively I asked, where did you ever hear a sermon on Shamgar? And one smart aleck jumped up and said, the last time you were here. And I said, you're right. I said, this morning I'm preaching a second in a series of sermons on Shamgar. I told him how much that ox goad weighed, how long it was, the names of all the 600 Philistines and where they were buried and who their survivors were. And so tonight I'm aware of the fact that some of the things that you hear, you have heard before, but I'm going to extend that greatly tonight. I don't mean I'm going to preach a long time tonight. It'll be my usual two-hour message. I want to speak tonight on the subject, you can be what you want to be. You'll have to listen because of the play on words there. You can be what you want to be. Father, I believe to me the truth that I'm going to present tonight is as encouraging a truth apart from the plan of salvation as I know in the Bible. I pray you to help me to be used of God in encouragement to our people tonight and to those who share this hour with us. Please. Amen. serve straight. I'll not be preaching long, and I promise that's the truth. I will not define what not long is. Our text tonight, we read a while ago, you need not turn to it again. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and on the uttermost part of the earth. I call your attention tonight that one little word, witnesses. It is the most interesting word. It has a dual meaning. The word witnesses there, although it comes from the word, of course, witness, and the word witness in the Greek language also means martyr. Jesus was saying, ye shall be witnesses, or it could be, ye shall be martyrs for me. You shall die for me. Now I'm satisfied in my own mind that all these people that heard him talk did not die, though many of them did die as martyrs. But Jesus is saying to these people, ye shall be witnesses, and the word also meaning martyrs. So what he's saying is this. He's saying, be willing to be a martyr if you have to be a witness. He's saying, as John Bunyan went to prison for being a witness and preaching on the street, Jesus is saying, you get the gospel out. If people persecute you, keep getting the gospel out. If they take your life and you become a martyr, you be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So he's saying, be willing to be a martyr. Be willing to die for the gospel, so I can be a martyr and not be a martyr. I can be a martyr and not die or be killed or my life taken for the cause of Christ. For he looks into my heart and he finds whether I would die, be a witness or not. And if he sees what I am in my heart, then I am in his eyes that very same thing. God sees, get this statement, God sees what you could do and would do because of what you are. Let me say it again. God sees what you could do and would do because of what you are. So God looks into your heart tonight and asks you a question. Does God see a martyr when he sees you? Oh, yes, I go soul winning every week. But what if they put a gun to your head? Then would you keep on going soul winning every week? Oh, you say, I witness on the job. But what if they're going to take your life and burn you at the stake as they did Latimer and Ridley and Savonarola and others? What if that were the price you'd have to pay? So God is not saying, I want people necessarily to die for me, but he's saying, I want people to be willing to die for me and to serve me if needs be unto death. And all of those who would die for me, I see them as martyrs just like those who do die for me. Now follow me carefully. This can be transferred to other areas of life. Hear my statement now. You may not have the title or position, but you can qualify yourself for that title or position. Do not seek title or position, but seek to be what that position would require you to be. And God will see you as that. You don't have to have the position or title. Let me give you an example. I think that Douglas MacArthur was president of the United States. He never sat in the White House. He never sat behind the Oval Desk. But Douglas MacArthur was qualified to be president of the United States. As far as I'm concerned, the saddest thing in my life about the White House is that Clinton's there and MacArthur never was. I'll make a statement of it this morning. Bill Clinton is not president of the United States. Oh, he holds the title. He sits behind the Oval Desk. But Bill Clinton is not the president of the United States. Because Bill Clinton does not have the character of president of the United States. He may have the title, but he doesn't have the capabilities and the qualifications. And so I'm simply saying that you don't have to have the title to be what you decide you want to be. Listen carefully. So an unmarried lady can be a wife. It may be you've never had a proposal. It may be that you've never had a wedding. It may be that you've never worn a wedding gown.
It may be that you've never had a reception. It may be that you've never walked the aisle and been pronounced as wife to a young man. It may be. But any young lady can prepare herself to be a wife and be a wife though she is never married. A childish lady can be a mother. Did you hear what I said? I said a childless lady can be a mother. By the way, there are a lot of women have children and not mothers. A lot of women have husbands that are not wives. A lot of men have wives that are not husbands. A lot of men have names as pastors of the churches, but they're not pastors. Now, I'd rather have the quality and not the title than have the title and not the quality. I've often said this. You be what you ought to be, and God will lead you to do what you ought to do. Hang the title. Forget the position. Forget the exaltation. And you decide that you're going to be, for the grace of God, that which you want to be, and you can be whatever you want to be. I said an unmarried lady can be a wife. A childless lady can be a mother. A peasant can be a king. A layman can be a pastor. A person without formal education can be intellectual. An employee can be an employer. So, choose what you want to be and become it. And all the demons of hell can't keep you from becoming it. You may not get chosen for the title, but bless God, again I say, I had rather be qualified and have the character for a certain position and never have that position than to have that position and not have the character. What you are is more important than what you can do. For if you are what you ought to be, you'll do what you ought to do. So choose what you want to be and become it. Be ready, hear this statement, be ready in case the opportunity comes. I said be ready in case the opportunity comes. Did you hear me? Howells Henderson College, lazy student? Did you hear me? Preacher boy that only goes soul winning an hour a week because you got to stay in college? Did you hear me? I'm simply saying that you be ready in case the opportunity comes, but if it doesn't come, you are still what you choose to become. There are martyrs all over this room tonight. There are people here tonight. You are witnesses unto death. You would be a witness unto death. If they said to you, you could soul winning, or we'll shoot you through the head, then you'll be in heaven because you'll keep on soul winning. If they said, we'll burn you at the stake, or if we'll stab you with the spear and take your life, you'd say, I have a command from my Savior. I'm supposed to go soul winning. I'm supposed to witness. And witness I'm commanded, and witness I'll do. Now you decide what you want to do. But the apostles said, we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. Now those apostles were martyrs then before they ever gave their lives for the gospel. Illustration. I'm going to use some personal illustrations. Randy Erickson never fathered a child. But Randy Erickson became a father. Randy Erickson has no child that bears his last name and never fathered a child. But Randy Erickson is a father. He fathers his Sunday school boys, little primary class of boys. He fathers those boys. Would God all you teachers would father your class? Would God all of you would realize that you're teaching the only book that God ever wrote to the never-dying souls of boys and girls and give yourself to that class? I'm saying Randy Erickson never fathered a child, but Randy Erickson's a father. Pam Hibbard never gave birth to a child. But Pam Hibbard's a mother. She mothers those bus kids at our bus kid high school. She's a mother. Now, she never has married. She's never given birth to a child. She knows nothing about travail in birth. But she is more a mother than some of you people that have a child, and that child has to rear himself. You never teach the Bible to him. You never pray for him. You never pray with him. You never tell him about character. You never teach him decency. You never take a stand to teach that child right. I'm saying Pam Hibbert's more mother than some of you are who have children. Belinda Castillo has never entered the jaws of death to give birth to a child, but Belinda Castillo's a mother. She mothers those people out there, those young ladies out there at Howells Anderson College in the dormitory And one of the most important people out there is Pam Hibbert. I say she's a mother. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we got a bunch of young preachers here. They want to, oh, I want to pastor a big church someday. No, sir, you just want to be all that God wants you to be and let God decide what title you have. But you can be a pastor of a big church without ever pastoring a big church. Maxine Jeffries is a mother. Maxine is 95 years old now, give or take a few years. Maxine's getting up there, as I am, and many of us are, and with us now, getting close to 40 years on our staff here. Maxine has never been married. She's never given birth to a child. But Maxine mothers those deaf people back there. I'm saying an unmarried lady can be a wife. A childless lady can be a mother. A peasant can be a king. A layman can be a pastor. A person without formal education can be an intellectual. An employee can be an employer. My mother went to the third grade. But my mother was the greatest child psychologist I ever met. She never put up a shingle. She never had a degree from college, which made her smarter than she'd have had in psychology. Let me give you another example. I'm a missionary. I am a missionary. Brother Lee Young is here tonight. He'll tell you, I'm a missionary. He's been with me to the Philippines. He's been with me to Venezuela. He's seen me preach in foreign countries. He's been with me to Mexico and has preached with me there, as have other fellows. And he'll tell you, Brother Hiles is a missionary. When I walked the aisle to surrender to preach as a young lad, a young teenager, I told my church that I was going to Africa as a missionary. I've never been a missionary. I've preached in foreign countries. I think about 19 foreign countries. I've never been officially the owner of the title of missionary in Venezuela. 25 hours after I stood to speak my first message, I closed my last message three times. Brother Young will tell you that there was a tie between me and those people that was sacred. And as I walked out, several people were weeping because I was leaving. You know why? Because I'm a missionary. You know why? Because I have more burden for some of those folks down in Venezuela than some of those people down there getting money from churches in America and letting Venezuela go to hell. I'm trying to tell you, I don't have the title, but I am a missionary. Hey, you just decide what you want to be and say, by cracky, I'm going to be that. I'm going to do it. You may not have the title. You don't have to have the title. You can be whatever you want to become. I was pastor of a large church in East Texas before I ever had a large church. Before I had a little handful of people, I operated the church just like I do this church now. Same type service, same type preaching, same type organization, same type teachers meeting on Wednesday night, same type deacon set up, everything just like it is here. Why? Though I may never have a large church, I can still be a pastor of a large church. I can be it. Young men, you listen to me. I had rather pastor no more than 100 people, but be what I ought to be as a pastor. And have my name across the top of the stationery of the largest church in America and not have a pastor's heart. Even if you've disqualified yourself, you can still be what position you cannot hold. I said again, if you have disqualified yourself, you still can be what position you cannot hold. I know a man that ruined his ministry, ruined his life, but he's still a pastor. He has no church. His name is not on the stationery, but he's still a pastor. So, decide what you want to be and become it. Better have the qualities and not the position, and position not the qualities. We want position. God wants qualities. So if you want to be a college president, you don't have to kick to have a coup and get rid of Wendell Evans. You can be a college president. You say, what college? You don't have to hold the title, but you can be as qualified as Wendell Evans is if you will apply yourself as Wendell Evans did. You want to be a college teacher? You may never teach in a class, but you can be a college teacher. If you want to be president of the United States, have at it. We need one. Have at it.
all across this nation. You listen, preacher boys. All across this nation, young men have aspired to positions and aspired to titles. And those young men have gotten those titles and gotten those positions without becoming what that title described. And they've fallen on their faces and disgraced the ministry and left the churches, and some churches have gone to almost nothing, and some have disbanded. Why? Because a fella got a title for something that he wasn't. Sam Jones was a circuit-riding Methodist preacher. Never did amount to much, but Sam Jones went to a workers' conference one day. A preacher stood and made a statement that transformed the life of Sam Jones. He said, "The pulpit is a throne, and the preacher is a king." The pulpit is a throne. So all you peasants, shape up out here. The pulpit is a throne, and the preacher is a king. Sam Jones got on his horse that day to ride home, said to the preacher riding beside him, "My life's been changed today. I learned something today." And the preacher said, "What did you learn?" He said, "I learned that I am royalty. And my little country church pulpit is a throne." And he said, "Next Sunday, I'm ascending the royal stairway of my throne as a king." Now, at that moment, Sam Jones became a great evangelist. He was not preaching citywide campaigns, as he did later, but that moment he became an evangelist, and America is dying tonight for lack of old-fashioned integrity and character and work and diligence and virtue and willingness to become what we ought to become if we never had the title, "Be What You Ought to Be." I'll use this illustration, rather lengthy one, and I'll come to the close. I'm not sure how long the close will be after this illustration, but both will happen before midnight. In high school, I always loved sports. I love sports. I love competition. In high school, I was asked by Coach Doc Hensley to go out for the baseball team. I went out for the baseball team and made the baseball team. I was shortstop on the W.H. Anderson High School baseball team. But I quit the team. I quit the team because I couldn't stand the language of the players. I quit the team because I couldn't stand the vulgarity of the players. You said, weren't you strong enough to stand it? No, and you're not either. And neither is your child strong enough to stand the public schools in 2000. He was too wicked. But I decided to become an athlete. A world-class athlete, I decided to become. I never played one game in a conference, but I organized a team of my own, of Christian boys. We entered the American Legion Summer League. And all the six high schools in Dallas were in that league in the summertime. We won the championship. I was a shortstop. And I got an offer from the Brooklyn Dodgers to sign a Dodger contract, to go to their farm team and try to work my way up to the major league team. I made the basketball team. The same coach, Coach Doc Hensley, came and said, "Jack, I want you..." I said, "That's Dr. Hauser, coach." He said, "I want you to..." I went out for the basketball team. I made the squad. As a sophomore, I made the squad. Didn't make the starting team, but I made the 12-man squad. I quit the team. Say why? Because it was too immoral. I could not be what I ought to be. I couldn't stand to listen to what I had listened to and the filth had listened to. I quit the team. I organized a basketball team of Christian young men from Hillcrest Baptist Church. We entered the annual YMCA Christmas tournament where all the high schools in the Dallas area were entered, every high school, all six of them. We entered the tournament. We did not win the tournament, but I was on the all-tournament team. Are you impressed? You did not know who was standing before you, did you? Now, I never was on the high school team except before I quit it. But I was an athlete. I decided to be an athlete. I used to play football with Duke Walker. Duke Walker was a Heisman Trophy winner when I was young. He won the Heisman Trophy, All-American three straight years at Southern Methodist University. Bobby Lane, who used to play quarterback for the Chicago Bears, Pittsburgh Steelers, Detroit Lions, lived across town from me, and every week I'd play football with Bobby Lane and Duke Walker. When I played baseball, I played with a young man named Davey Williams. My wife remembers him. She was a good friend of Davey's girlfriend in high school, became his wife. Davey Williams became second baseman for the New York Giants and was their second baseman when they won the World Series back yonder years ago when Alvin Dart played shortstop for them. I used to strike Davey Williams out in ball. I decided to become an athlete. But you don't have to be on a starting high school, worldly high school team to be an athlete. You don't have to be on the basketball team to be an athlete. The World Series, never knew I was an athlete. And the Super Bowl, never knew I was an athlete. But Doak Walker did. And Bobby Lane did. And Davey Williams did. And God did. Now, I'll get down to the real big stuff. I was horseshoe pitching champion of Dallas, Texas when I was a boy. In those days, we didn't take the shoes off the horses. This is Texan horseshoe pitching, folks. I'll impress you more than that. I was ping pong champion for the 82nd Airborne Division. In front of the entire 10,000 division of the 82nd Airborne Division, they gave me a case of beer as my prize. I was the all-star fast pitch softball pitcher for the 7th Army of the 7 Southern States. Now, I'm trying to tell you, you're looking at an athlete. The papers never said it. I just decided that I was going to become an athlete. I don't give a flip whether I make a $14 million contract or not. That kind of stuff, they paved the streets in my hometown with that kind of stuff. I'm not concerned about that. Likewise, many have position and are not that at all. Listen carefully. I said Bill Clinton has the title, but he's not the President of the United States. There are many pastors whose names are on the stationery and on the sign out in front, but they're not pastors. There are many missionaries who live on foreign fields who are not missionaries. Some of you people that are ladies that are called mother or decide to become mothers, it wouldn't hurt some of you to trim your house down a little bit and quit work and stay home and rear your kids. Wouldn't hurt you. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I don't have to try to make anybody mad. I can make folks mad without trying. But I want you to know there are a heap of folks in this room that have the title of mother, but you're not a mother. And Pam Hibbert's more of a mother than you are. And Belinda Castile's more mother than you are. And Maxine Jeffries is more mother than you are. What you ought to do is you ought to go home and say, I have children, now I'm going to become a mother. Some of you dads ought to quit your bowling leagues. Cancel half your golf games. Cancel half your fishing trips. And take some time to be a dad and take that Bible, read that Bible to your children and teach your children what they ought to learn. They call you daddy, now be a daddy. Some of you Christian school teachers, what you ought to do? You ought to decide to become Christian school teachers. You ought to decide to have that young man that gave a Bible study a while ago. I feel sorry for you folks didn't hear that. 24 years of age, grew up in our church. Mom and Dad were here when I came 40 years ago. Stood here a while ago and gave one of the best Bible studies I ever heard in my life. Why? Why? Because he's a teacher. And he was a teacher before he had the job. Some of you leaders ought to become leaders. Having a child doesn't make you a mother. Having a husband doesn't make you a wife. Having a wife doesn't make you a husband. Going to a foreign country doesn't make you a missionary. And being called to a church doesn't make you a pastor. Now listen carefully to me. There needs to be, and I'm almost through, there needs to be, in this church, as in every church in America, a re-emphasis on being what you ought to be. Everybody wants a title. Everybody wants a position. 40 years ago, when this church was out of pastor, 66 men applied for the job. And I wasn't one of them. They didn't know me, and I won't go into the story. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. And I never heard of this church. I didn't know where Hammond was. I knew it was Indiana. Didn't know what part. I figured that's where they made Hammond organs. They don't. They make Sut here. But I thought they made Hammond organs here. They wrote me a letter and said, would you be interested in this church? Fill out the application form. That thick. It would have taken me days to fill out that application. They want to know what my favorite color was. I'm sure the church of Antioch wrote Paul and said, what is your favorite color? How much I weighed? That's a personal matter. Right? I wrote back in one little answer where it said comments. I said, I don't believe in applying for churches. What you fellows all do is throw these stupid application forms away and get on your knees and pray down God's man. I got a letter back, and they said, we're very interested in your application. Would you meet with us? I said, no. For I was not interested in becoming pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. I was interested in being a pastor. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Martyrs. What? We haven't died for you. You're a martyr. We haven't given our lives, but you're martyrs. Ye shall be martyrs. If you have the devotion and the dedication to where you would not let anything, even death, the sword, the stake, stop you from obeying the commands of God, you may never die at the stake or feel the coldness of the sword through your breast. But you're martyrs. You're martyrs. If some of you gals at Howells Innocent College would decide to be wise rather than trying to find a husband, you'd be amazed what kind of life you could live. There's one unhappily married fellow. Then he said again, you little cutie. Then he said again, little Jezebel Jr. Let me say it again. If you'd get more interested in becoming what you ought to become, instead of trying to find a husband, good night, they're everywhere. And some of you gals that found one, I'll throw them back in and bait the hook again. I'm just kidding. You ought to decide you're going to be a wife. And some of you macho men trying to control your wife like Adolf Hitler controlled Germany. Hey, I'm a man. Yeah, you got the title, but you haven't got manhood. I don't care if your bicep is the size of a grapefruit. You're not a man unless you are a man, character-wise, or if your bicep's the size of a grape. And you have conviction and are what you ought to be, then you are a man. You can become what you want to become. Why don't you decide to forget the title? Forget the position. Decide what you want to be. Would you like to be President of the United States? Have at it. Have at it. You don't have to sit in the White House. God will see you. And what you could do, and what you would do, and what you're qualified to do. You want to be college president, Bible teacher, martyr, pastor, leader? I'll close with this, and I'll close again after a while with something else. But I will close with this. Many years ago, I went to college. My closest friend was a man named Mel Rutter. Mel was 10 years older than I. We came from the same church in Dallas. By the way, he was a Yankee. I loved him anyway. But he was from Ohio. But he had come for some reason down to Dallas, and we were in the same church. He and his wife, Dorothy, were best friends with Ms. Hiles and me, and Dorothy and Ms. Hiles sang duets together. Ms. Hiles' beautiful soprano voice blended with her beautiful alto voice, and they both were lovely ladies. Mel Rutter and I were prayer partners in college. We met every day at the same time, same place, atop of the fire escape at the First Baptist Church building, downtown Marshall, Texas, and we played together every day. God called Mel Rutter to the mission field, and Mel became a missionary. However, his health failed him. He was unable to stay on the mission field, had to come back to America. And for the last 40 years, or 43 years maybe, he didn't go to the mission field except to visit. He just promoted missions here. But Mel Rutter was always known as a missionary. Always known as a missionary. The man right over here, middle of the second row, was a colonel in the Army. If I'd known him 50 years ago, I'd have hated him. But God has given me victory over hatred for colonels. Not second lieutenants, but colonels. How long has it been since you've been in the Army? Air Force, how long? 16 years. I saw him this morning. I said, "Hi, Colonel." "Hi, Colonel." He's not a colonel. He doesn't even run with the right crowd. But he is a colonel. He is a colonel. And I'll promise you this. If tonight a pain goes through my heart, I have a stroke or a heart attack, and I can never stand behind this pulpit again. Every time you see me, as long as I live, you'll say, "Hi, preacher. Hi, preacher." Because it so happens I don't have to pastor a church to be a preacher. He doesn't have to be in the Air Force to be a colonel. You don't have to die for Jesus to be a martyr. You just have to be willing to witness unto death if needs be. So decide what you want to become and decide to become it. One of these days, you may have the opportunity to use what you have become. Or if you don't, you'll still be known by God as what you are and not what title that you hold. Would you bow your heads, please?